Luke chapter 24. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things to the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. This account of the discovery of Jesus' tomb, in minor details, differs from other accounts. And for some people, that's the cause of a lot of trouble. And I don't bring it up to trouble people over it, meaning people whose faith is weak. I don't mean to trouble you about it. But people are going to bring it up to you. And sticking our heads in the sand is no way to confront difficulties. In Matthew, an angel descends from heaven and rolls away the stone. In all the other Gospels, it clearly states that when they arrived at the tomb, the stone was already rolled away. So how can we understand that in a way that makes sense? Was the stone already rolled away, or did an angel come and roll it away? Someone will point out that difference of detail. And immediately they'll be like, aha, I got you. Don't fall into that. They found a small crack, and they're allowing their assumptions to flow into it. You have to look at the hidden assumptions that people have. His assumption is the account is not true. My assumption is that the account is true. On the one hand, I have no problem accepting the idea that perhaps some of these details they didn't get right. Like who reached the tomb first. It might not have seemed very important. And so, I think it was Mary Magdalene. I'm going to write Mary Magdalene. And someone else says, well, yeah, Peter got there first. And then John corrects everyone and says, no, I got there first, but I didn't go in. Peter was the first one to go in. I ran faster than Peter. And so some of the details may have been a bit sketchy. When they write the narrative, they may have just gone based on what they thought that there was right. From their perspective, it's not a very important detail. The thing they all agree on is that Jesus rose from the dead. Now back to Matthew, it says, as it began to dawn, Mary Magdalene came, and behold, there was a great earthquake, or it could have been a local shaking that was great. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. From my perspective, that would have to be a divinely inspired supplement. Because the other gospel writers all agree, and Luke, who is very scrupulous about eyewitnesses, declares that the women came and the stone was already rolled away. And so does John, and so does Mark. And that those three agree. Matthew is not necessarily saying that the stone was rolled away right in front of the women. Though in the narrative, it seems like that. But this could be a parenthetical portion of the chapter. I mean, we could place from beginning in verse 2 right through verse 4, we could put that in parentheses as an explanation of why the tomb, how the stone get rolled away. What happened? It's a supplement. Knowledge that perhaps none of the other gospel writers had because it was divinely inspired. That's really, to me, the most reasonable way to rationalize that. Because otherwise, the testimony the women gave to Mark, Luke, and John would differ from that Matthew received. And so that's one way of looking at that. Now, Luke says they saw two men standing by them. In Mark, he says there was a single man in the tomb. And John doesn't even record them seeing anybody. And those can all be put down to the way eyewitnesses sometimes relate their account. They may say to one person, we were there, we came, and there was this guy and he spoke to us. And to another person, they might say, we went, we saw he wasn't there, and we came back and we talked to you without mentioning. And then let's say Luke is questioning them, and then he asks them, was there anyone else? Well, now that you mention it, there was another angel. There were two. Now, some people are going to, of course, not be satisfied with those kind of explanations of the discrepancies. And I don't expect them to be satisfied. It's not to satisfy them. It's to satisfy yourself. It has to be an intellectually satisfying answer for you. And me, in part, I look to those answers. And also, in my own faith, it's not a very important point. These sort of bits of narrative, if they're accurate or not, I don't care. To me, it's more important that they would accurately transmit the teachings of Jesus. And that I believe they did. Remember, this is a single experience of a single day, of a few minutes. And it's easy to forget exactly how it went. But the teachings of Jesus were repeated over and over and over, and I would expect them to get it right. Jesus wanted them to accurately transmit his gospel. The narrative is less important. Unless you're keeping a diary of day-to-day activity, you know, the way you're going to have to write a gospel is by taking what you know about Christ and piecing together a story. It's the purpose of the gospels is to transmit the message. And they are, on the whole, historically accurate as far as they are historical documents. Jesus rose from the dead, his crucifixion. But some elements in the narrative aren't about history. They're about teaching Jesus' doctrine. And I don't think anything's intentionally falsified. But certain details, not a lot of attention was given to them because they probably didn't seem very important. Who got to the tomb first? Yeah, who cares? Who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You know, it's kind of like that kind of a question. They didn't write the gospel for skeptics. They wrote it for believers. Or those who would believe. And we're looking for something else. For the power of God. To turn us from our sins. To raise us from the dead. And in this, the gospel writers all agree. The fact of Jesus' resurrection is so important to the faith. If God raised up Jesus, he will also raise us up. If Christ is risen, then everything he said is true.